Welcome to the Bethany Community Church Podcast for February 7, 2016. This week's sermon is titled, From Struggle to Strength.
Reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 13 through 26. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
So I want to talk to you today about going from struggle to strength. We started this series talking about being powerless. We're kind of going to come full circle today to once again realize that we are powerless. And when the Spirit does the work that He intends to do in our lives, we will know in the end that we were not capable of doing what He did. We were not capable of becoming what He turned us into. We have many examples in this room this morning of people. And as I reflected, I may even, I didn't ask permission today to do this, but it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. I may even point a few of you out today. And I know you won't mind because you want your life to be a testimony. And when you share your testimony, you have to share the bad part and the good part. And you have become something. I've been here long enough to watch many of you become something that I don't know if you even thought you could become. But through the work of the Spirit in your life, yes, ups and downs, failures, none of us be here without God's mercy and grace. None of us. That's a foregone conclusion. Life in the Spirit, going from struggle to strength, it's learning to live in the Spirit. The King James Bible uses the word walk in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit means going from an experience to a life. Mostly in the last three sermons, we've talked about the Holy Spirit as an experience, having an encounter with the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost was an encounter. It was an event. But for a lot of Christians through the years, in my experience, being filled with the Spirit is all about the event. We have all these events. We may not call them Spirit, getting filled with the Spirit. We call them spiritual high. It may be a youth retreat. It may be the annual week of prayer. It may be the Women of Faith conference. It might be what they used to call Inside Out Soul Fest. It may be some other event, conference I don't even know about that you go to, that for you is a spiritual high, and you look forward to going there, and you look forward to getting filled with the Spirit. Maybe it's even the Sunday morning service. Events matter. They're important. I want you to keep putting events on your calendar. Keep putting events on your calendar where you go get filled with refilled with the Spirit. You know, you need to keep getting filled with the Spirit. In fact, the Bible uses the term filled with the Spirit actually means, in the original language, to keep on being filled. It doesn't mean you had this event and you happened one time. You keep on being filled. You need to keep on being filled with the Spirit because you leak. You got to keep on getting filled with the Holy Spirit. But today I want to talk about a life in the Spirit, going beyond the events. Certainly, as someone who comes from a highly Pentecostal tradition, we put a lot of emphasis on the event. We put a lot of emphasis on the place. You know, if you receive the Holy Spirit, and boy, I know a lot of people that had the experience of what they would call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I don't think they ever talked to the Holy Spirit again for 40 years. It was like they had gotten a degree. They got their degree, they put it on the wall, they were done. They had the Holy Ghost. Doesn't work like that. It's a relationship. And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you don't move beyond the event, all you have is memories, but no movement. A lot of church people, we don't really have that kind of church culture here, but I could take you to a lot of churches where all they have is memories. All they have is the time, I tell you when the Holy Spirit really moved in our church. Let me tell you about that revival we had. Let me tell you about that evangelist who came by. But we've got to move beyond that. Spiritual highs are just those event-based things that we have. Galatians 5:16, though, says, "So I say, live by the Spirit." Paul's not talking about an event here. He's not talking about going to a conference. He's not talking about a youth retreat or women's retreat, which are great things. He's not talking about the Women of Faith Conference. He's not talking about the annual youth retreat that you just had. By the way, I heard it was really good, and I heard a lot of kids got a lot out of it. I've already heard some of the results. Thank God, that's wonderful. Now let's move into a life in the Spirit. You've been touched by the Spirit. Let's talk about living by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 again. So I say, live by the Spirit. This is going to be our foundation point today. Live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now, if you read that text, you read the two previous verses, he's contrasting the old covenant under Moses that failed. It failed to transform people. It failed to make people powerful because it was based on, first of all, it was based on punishment. It was based on the fear of punishment. And it was based on human flesh. It was based on the power of human flesh, the fear of punishment and the power of human flesh. I'm telling you, under the old covenant, if you had sin in your life, you probably wanted to keep it a secret because there was no mercy. It was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. There was no mercy. And under the new covenant, we can freely express our sin to one another. We can talk about our failures. We can let people know. We can get help. We can pray about it because there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that an amazing, wonderful thing? Have you thanked God for that lately? I mean, that was a Gatorade moment, Ken. Right there, it was a Gatorade moment. As you know, people have been joking that it's my fault because I reposted what someone put on my Facebook wall that on Super Bowl Sunday, congregations should give their pastor a Gatorade shower if he preaches a winning sermon. So, I don't have a change of clothes. So, next year. So the old covenant was built on punishment, the fear of punishment. And it was built on the power of the human flesh. So it was destined to fail. But it was never in the mind of God that people wouldn't be transformed. It was never in the mind of God that people would not be empowered. But it was in his mind to prove to us that human flesh and human rules cannot make us powerful and cannot make us succeed. But the problem with failure, let me talk about this for just a minute. The problem with failure, some people's solution to this is we don't care about failure. But the problem with failure is it creates chaos. Failure in our lives creates chaos. Moral and spiritual failure, regardless of the religious system you're under, Paul presents us with a call to enter a life in the Spirit. and replace that old covenant and all that fear of punishment and all that concentration on rules and rituals, but focus on the whisper and the breath of the Holy Spirit in a relationship with a powerful spiritual being that's way more powerful than anything George Lucas ever imagined. We have in this scripture that Scott so capably read, we have a death list and a life list. One's called the actions of the flesh. The other is called the fruit of the Spirit. We could also call it a hate list and a love list. I'm going to read it to you again. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. We're not going to define all these words today, but don't they just sound like a bunch of chaos, a bunch of mess? Jealousy, fits of rage. See, a lot of people that wouldn't have anything to do with sexual immorality will just have a lot of jealousy and rage in their life. And the Lord puts them in the same sentence. The same sentence. Drunkenness and orgies and the like. So you could just go crazy here. The like. Everything that's like any of that stuff. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here, let me point out something to you between these two lists. The difference between the bad list and the good list, there are many differences, but one of the major differences is that the good list supports human flourishing. And that bad list does not support human flourishing. In fact, it kills human beings emotionally, those things, all that stuff, relationally, and sometimes literally. And we're born in that bad list. We're born. That's our identity. We've all lived. We all have lived and still live somewhere in that list. But the Lord says, I got something else for you. I got something better for you. I got some empowerment for you. It's not going to come through the fear of punishment. It's not going to come through worrying about whether God's going to get you. But it's going to come through a friendship, a relationship with the Holy Spirit that you're going to be able to cultivate. And you're not going to be able to make it happen, but you're going to be able to let it happen. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Paul says that solution is to live by the Spirit. The word live there is peripateo, and it means to have a companion or to be preoccupied with. Isn't that really cool? Isn't that really cool that the God of the universe, he gives Moses the law. He knew the law was going to fail, and that's a whole other sermon as to why he gave the law. There's a reason for it. And Paul is very clear that the law of God wasn't bad. It was a good thing, but it was just weak because of human flesh and was just destined to fail, and God knew it wasn't going to work. And so God gave the law, and the law proved to us that we were failures. The law proved that we couldn't do this in our own strength, in our own flesh, that we couldn't do it. And God comes along and says, okay, I'm going to put the punishment of sin on my son. And the curses of the law are going to be put on my son. He's going to take that. Here's what I'm going to do about your sin problem. I'm going to give you a friend. I'm going to give you a counselor. I'm going to give you a comforter. I'm going to give you a presence. That's how I'm going to deal with your sin. I'm not going to give you a beating. I'm going to give you a force that you're going to be able to cultivate. And we're going to hang in with me this morning. We're going to kind of explain some of this. That Greek word that's translated live in some versions, walk, that peripateo has two meanings then. It means to have a companion and to preoccupied with, to be preoccupied with. You know, on our cruise, I wanted to make sure I read a book. And I was looking through my list of unread books and my Kindle app, and some people complain about technology, but for me, because I misplace things and lose things, it's so wonderful that all of my books are right here. All of my books are right here, so I just have to keep up with this. And I have all my books. I got where people want to give me a book. No, keep it. I'll download it. Because I know where it is if I download it. So I decided, I looked at the list, and I just felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I saw Bill Hybels' book, Too Busy Not to Pray. And I'd had that in there for a while. And I felt the Holy Spirit said to my heart, you need to read that. And I knew why in my heart, because I know my prayer life is not exactly what I know it ought to be. I know my prayer life needed a little more punch and a little more, you know, because I'm a thinker, so I think a lot and read a lot and study a lot. I think, read, and study more than I pray. And there's a difference. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm getting way ahead of myself. Sorry, but I've already half said it, so I'll finish it. I've learned you don't get filled with the Spirit by thinking and reading. You get filled with the Holy Spirit by praying. Amen? I'm glad you clapped on that. Now, you need to think and read because the Word is the sword of the Spirit. So if you need to give the Spirit His sword because that's His principal weapon in your life. So you need to read and study too. But I knew I need to amp up my prayer life. And it really was good. But I ran into this story by Bill who talked about this, talked about coming to that point in his life where he realized he needed to have a deeper relationship with God. Because that's what this is really about, you know. That's what this thing about the Holy Spirit, it's you meet Jesus, you get forgiven of your sins, and you're so happy, you should be happy about that. But one day you come to a point, like they did all through the New Testament. You know, they would accept Jesus, and then the disciples would come along and say, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? They were saying to those people, there's a deeper life available for you. There's a deeper walk. This walk over here where you get redeemed and forgiven, that's necessary. But this walk where you get empowered is where it gets fun. This walk where you get empowered, that's where it gets exciting. Where you start getting led and you start getting prompted to do things and you start getting the whisper of God. And this is where the dynamic stuff happens. Well, here's what he said. He said, in college, I met a professor who was always able to capture my attention. Most times when discussing matters pertaining to God, it seemed he had just had lunch with God. Like he and God had just run by Burger King en route to campus and grabbed a quick bite. It was that conversational, that intimate. To this professor, Jesus was a brother, a friend. I couldn't understand that type of relationship with the immortal, invisible God. Only wise, inaccessible, hid from our eyes, to quote the well-known hymn. But I wanted it. And so I started hanging around the professor after class. One day I got the courage to ask him how he seemed to know Christ in a way that I didn't. His answer clicked in my mind. He said, maybe you only understand Jesus as the forgiver of your sins, and you neglect to know him in any other way. So today, I'm inviting you to begin to know Jesus through the Holy Spirit in all kinds of ways. We will only be powerful when the Holy Spirit becomes our closest companion and not just our connection who gets us a ticket to heaven. Doesn't mean we won't still struggle. I'm not telling you that you'll become powerful. You're never going to feel weak again. You'll never struggle with anything. Not telling you that. But you know, here's what I believe and I hope. I pray that the information that's in this sermon and other things that hopefully this sermon will cause you to think about. Although you may still struggle, and you probably will at some point, you'll have a day, a month, a time, a thing that will come back up. You may still struggle. But the difference is you will know why. You will know where you got off track. You will know it was because, and this is absolutely, I will stake my life on the statement, that any time I start giving in to a struggle, any time I go from strength back to struggle, It's because I stopped being intimate and dependent on the Holy Spirit. Every time, every single time, I move away from God. Every single time. That just makes it simpler to me. I don't need to grovel. I don't need to beat myself up. I don't need to fear. I just need to move back close to God again. I just need to get back in conversation, in relationship with God. God's ultimate goal, let me say this to you. God's ultimate goal in our life is not sinlessness, but humility and dependence. God's ultimate goal in our life, God's measure of maturity, is not sinlessness. Now, we want to sin less because sin hurts people. Sin is a lack of love, always, always, always. That's why love is at the center of this text. Sin is always loveless. Sin is always mean to somebody in your life. So yes, of course we want to sin less. God wants us to sin less. But that's not his greatest measure. His greatest measure, you will only sin less when you become completely dependent on God. Well, I mean, there is a self-righteous kind of deal that some people get into, but they're really just changing one sin for another. When people get self-righteous, all they're doing is they stop doing an outward sin, a sin of the flesh, and they start doing sins of the spirit. The Bible says that we're to separate ourselves from sins of the flesh and sins of the spirit. So people that become legalistic and religious and self-righteous, the church lady, those kind of people, they just quit one type of fighting and one type of adultery and one type of immorality and for an inner spiritual immorality that is just as ugly and just as dirty and damns as many people, if not more. So, you know, now that's another Gatorade moment, guys. Amen? Thank you. So I want to give you three things in closing this series. I want to give you three things to do. And I believe God has given these to me, and you be the judge, and we'll help you. I'm going to give you three phrases or things to say. You should write, you know, I believe you should write these things down. I know they're going to be on the wall, but I think you should write them down. I think you might want to put these on a 3x5 card and put it in your bathroom mirror or put it in your car, on the dash. How to walk in the Spirit. How to live in the Spirit. Number one, let go. Let go. Hebrews 12:1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares. Let us lay aside. Let go. I want you to try something right now. Just do everything I tell you for the next few seconds, all right? Take a deep breath. Breathe in. You couldn't do it, could you? You can breathe out now. You could not breathe in till you breathe out. You're full of air, which when you breathe it out, always get those two mixed up, carbon dioxide, right? Did I get it right? You breathe that out. What you breathe out is toxic, right? You can't be filled with the Spirit till you let go of that other stuff you're full of. If you're all full of anxiety, well, you got to let go of anxiety. If you're all full of greed and lust, you got to let that go. You don't fight it. Fight it's very different than letting it go. fighting and trying to hold it down, that's very different than letting go. Yeah, just as you know, I've been on this journey of recovering from surgery and stuff, and the doctor sent me to a physical therapist, and she's wonderful. And for those of you who know me, it won't surprise you that it was discovered that I have some problems with tension. You know? And that, so I go in the other day, and she puts these electrodes up on me. And then there's a computer screen there, and she has me tense up my muscles, and I do. And then she says, relax. Well, my muscles don't relax. The thing just stays up there. And some of you have been wanting to tell me this for a long time, that you're a little uptight, Phil. And, you know, I would try to relax, and the more I would try to relax, kind of the worse it got. Finally, she goes, let go. My brain could understand that. Relaxing felt like something I had to do. I had to push the muscles down. Let go was something my brain understood that. And when she said let go, it was like, tighten up, I let go. I thought about that. A lot of people are fighting this battle with sin, and they're fighting this battle with stuff in their life, and they just need to let go. They just need to let go. Let me give you an example of letting go, because this isn't real easy to grasp sometimes. You know, you need to understand that you're attracted to that stuff in your life. You're attracted. If you're full of fear, you're attracted to fear because you believe it works. Because you can prove it. You would say, look how many bad things don't happen because I'm so afraid. Because I worry so much. What if I didn't worry? Think of how much bad would happen. You're attracted to worry. If you're bitter, you're attracted to your bitterness, and you're afraid to let it go. It's not a matter of overcoming it. You're afraid to let it go. Let me tell you a story. And I know I shared this in a Facebook post that somebody wrote to the day I responded. So some of you heard the story. I was in Rockford, Illinois, a number of years ago when we were first going out there, and we were looking, and it's a result. Our kids ended up going there for a leadership program called Master Commission. But First Assembly of God, Rockford, Illinois. And I remember being there, I think it was a Saturday night, and we had this service. And there were hundreds of people in this room. There were probably, I don't know what that place seats. There were 1,500 people, perhaps. I don't know. And the worship team gets up and they start playing. And the songs were wordy. And I didn't like the melodies. Other than that, it was great. And the sound system wasn't very good either. I had a really problem with the sound system. It wasn't very good. I thought a church this large should have a better sound system than this. I had a really great attitude. And they were singing, and I was just getting just more irritated by the moment. Singing these wordy songs, and the melodies are not pretty. And nobody's singing harmony. I didn't hear any harmonies. Nobody, you know, the Spirit of God can't move without harmony. Holy Ghost can't move if you're singing in unison. And then I look around me, and I see hundreds of people with their hands raised, some with tears, having the time of their life with the Lord. And I said, you know what? I must be the problem. And you know what I did? I said, okay. I didn't word it like this, but what I did is I let go of my critical spirit. I just let it go, and I raised my hands. I kind of shut the music out because the music wasn't going to do it for me that day. Some of you feel that way. You probably feel that way. You probably felt that way here sometimes. I began to worship God, and I want to tell you, everything changed. Everything changed within 5-10 minutes. I wasn't feeling angry or upset anymore. I wasn't feeling critical anymore because I let go. I let go of a bad spirit. You can't get filled with the Holy Spirit till you let go of that bad spirit. But it's easy to do. You can do it while I'm preaching this morning. You can do it in the next 45 seconds. You can let go of that bad spirit. You can let go of that anger and that fear and that worry and that doubt. And what about lust? You can't, like, yes, you can. Lust is simply desire when desire becomes a demand. So some of you think lust is desire, but lust is not desire. You desire a lot of things in life. If you don't have desire, you're dead. You don't even desire, you're dead. So lust is not desire. Lust is when desire becomes demand. So I tell you what you do. If you have desire that's turned into to demand, right now, just let it go. Let it go. What are you full of? Can't be filled with the Spirit, Nancy, till you get empty. You can't do it. Okay, are you ready to let go? Are we going to let go of some stuff here today? Are we going to let go of some stuff? Some of you have had a lifetime of holding stuff in. Let it go. Let go of it. Anger you have toward that person that hurt you. Oh, I can't let it go. You can't afford not to let it go. It's making you sick. It's making you feel bad. It's hurting you. It's damaging you. Let it go. Because right outside your heart's door, there's a flood of joy. There's a river of joy. The Bible says that from the throne of God, there is a river. There's a river that flows from the throne of God. And there's a river outside of your heart that flows from the throne of God, that if you'll let go of that toxic swamp that fills your heart, there's a river of joy, of love, joy, peace. Don't you love those first three words of the fruit of the Spirit? Who could have a problem with that? Now, the second thing, it sounds a little bit like let go, and it's a term that's being used today, and it's this: lean in. Lean in. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with one another. Listen to this last sentence. Circle this. So that you do not do what you want. Did you ever see that before? That the Holy Spirit is in sync with what you really want. Now that's another Gatorade moment. The Holy Spirit is in sync with the life that you really want for yourself. So you're convinced. You're convinced, well, what I want, I don't want what God wants. That's the problem. No. That part of you that doesn't want what God wants is called the sin nature, and that is not you. That's an imposter that has gotten in your brain pretending to be you, and you don't even know who you are, because that imposter, the sin nature, is prattling in your ear, and you think that's you, and you have a problem of stolen identity. Your identity has been stolen by the sin nature, and the Holy Spirit wants to come in here today and give you your identity back. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, here's where I want to call some people out. Steve Wynowski, the other day, I was looking at Facebook, and I saw you reading a book to Marley on Facebook. And I thought of all those times when you were caught up in your addiction. All those years. And I got tears in my eyes when I saw that picture on Facebook. Because I said to myself, now that's who he really wanted to be. Is that true? That other guy, was that who you wanted to be? That wasn't fun, was it? That was hell. How's this? How's this life? Thank you so much. I love you. Thanks for letting us be a part of it. Amen? Jim Dayon here, I remember the night, Jim, you called me from the Patriot Bar. Now, you get filled with the spirit at the Patriot Bar. Absolutely. The wrong spirit. And he was getting filled with the spirit at the Patriot Bar. And I don't know, he kept calling me. Like, every few minutes, he'd call me again. And the last time Jim called me, it was like, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where my keys are. I don't know. It just all trailed. And I do not know how we found you. 3 o'clock in the morning, I got up, got in my car, and me and Doug Kramer found you. And he was sitting, the police had him stopped up here on Providence Road. And he was sitting out behind the car on the ground. And me and Doug got there at the same time. I don't know how we found you, except that the Holy Spirit led us to find you because you weren't home. And because he had gotten out of his car before the police got there, they couldn't arrest him for DUI because he wasn't driving. Is that who you wanted to be? You were in debt. You were in a mess. Is here you're sitting here today with a beautiful lady? Is this more who you really wanted to be? You see, the Holy Spirit is in sync with what you want to be. And you need to quit being ripped off by that sin nature that's telling you, this is who you are. This is what you want. But guys, behind the sin nature is Diablo, Lucifer. He's a liar. He's a liar. So you think you want stuff that you don't want. That's why when you get it, you're not happy. You get what that voice has been telling you, and when you get it, you got to go get something else. Because the river that flows from the throne of God brings joy and peace and contentment and satisfaction. You know, Mike Sutton, I don't have any big stories to tell you, Mike, but I know you've told me, and I didn't really know at the time because we weren't close. But Mike and Joanne have said, been very honest and told us about how fragile their marriage was when they first came to this church. And it wasn't because of this church. I mean, you were already on the right path. And I'm not trying to take credit for it. But Mike, I watch you and Joanne now going to Bimini last week and going all over the place and so happy together. Do you like who you are now better than what you used to be? Who else has come down this process and you like who you are now better than who you used to be? You like what the Holy Spirit has done in your life. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, God is your friend. The Holy Spirit is your friend. And if you will just let him today, if you'll just go with the flow, lean in. See, some of you think life in step with the Spirit is miserable because you never get to do what you want. And you're always forcing yourself to be loving and nice and be kind and be moral and be faithful and be generous. But that's what you really want to be. If I were to go up to you after church and say, you're a real jerk, you're going to say something like, I beg your pardon, I am not. If I say, you're really selfish and stingy, you're going to say, how dare you say that? I'm not. Let me tell you the unselfish things I did this week. If I say, you know, you were looking at people lustfully all during the service, I saw you, you're going to say, you're crazy, I wasn't doing that. I was looking at their face. You're going to make me prove it. Oh, no one would go, thank you very much. Yes, I am a selfish jerk, thank you. It's what I've always wanted to be. You don't want to be that person. You want to be a person who's full of love and joy. That's what you want. You want a spirit-powered life, but you got to let go and you got to lean in. When you start leaning into the light, you'll find out the Holy Spirit has an absolute Disney world of powerful things to lean into. Can you remember when you discovered, how many of you can remember when you discovered Christian music? Remember? You didn't know Christians had music. And you discovered Christian music and you just blew you away. The Christians had music and lots of it. Can you remember when you discovered Christian friends? You discovered there are large groups of people who want to get together and have fun and not get loaded. And it was just, wow, I can't believe it. Or can you remember when you discovered Christian retreats and conferences? Remember the first time you went to a gathering where there were hundreds or thousands of Christians and people worshiping and praising God and being nice to each other and not fighting and stuff? And you're, oh, wow, I thought there was just like 200 of us and we all went to 15 Cape Road. I thought that was it. Can you remember when you discovered Christian teachers and preachers? I mean, you thought, Pastor Phil, okay, but is this as good as it gets? Then you discovered Bishop Jakes. You discovered Joel Osteen. You discovered, I don't want to not leave anybody out, right? You discovered Tim Keller. I knew so many people. I've turned so many people over to Tim Keller, and they always go, wow, he's awesome. And there's so many more. Can you remember when you discovered Christian books? Mike, remember when you discovered Christian books? Mike reads all the time. How many books do you read a month? 3 or 4, I bet. Half a dozen books a month. This guy reads all the time. Can you remember when you discovered Christian books? You didn't even know. All you'd ever read before was manuals at work. And you discovered there's all these people writing all this amazing stuff that's so cool and so helpful. Remember when you discovered stepping out in faith? You started paying tithe. You did something, and the world, the sky didn't fall in. Instead, you got blessed. Remember when you discovered Christian service? So many of you, I've watched you go, especially when we were going to Mississippi, you would go with us, and you just couldn't believe it. You would go down there, and you would get involved in Christian service, and you'd see these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of Christians all over the place cooking and fixing up houses, and you just didn't even know that world existed. That's the stuff that you lean into to stay full of the Spirit. Lean in. Lean in to all the good. God's got so much fuel to put in your tank that you don't have a big enough tank to handle all the fuel that God wants to put in your tank to keep you alive in the Spirit. Say amen. Gatorade moment. I don't fear punishment. I only fear missing out on love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I only fear missing out on the good stuff. Finally, and I'm going to quickly give you this last bit of instruction to end this series. I couldn't think of anything that started with L. I tried. I couldn't think. So I'm going to tell you quick, simply, breathe regularly. Our scriptures say, live in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of sinful nature. Questions, what's the most basic activity that is vital to life? Now, there are many activities vital to life, eating, sleeping, being protected from the elements. But the most basic activity to life is breathing. And spiritual breathing is called prayer. If you then being evil, he says in Luke 11:13, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who pray, to ask? Prayer takes many, many forms. You know, I joke around about losing stuff because I do tend to lose stuff. And in my recovery, I've been wearing sweatpants a lot, and so I don't have a pocket for my wallet. So I'm always having to find someplace for my wallet. And this week has been a bad wallet week. And I went over to Emily, got my hair cut, and couldn't find my wallet. So I didn't have to pay her. It's great. And the other night, I ran the snowblower, and I get in, and I couldn't find my wallet. After blowing snow. So I was just sure that I had dropped in the snow and chewed it up with the snowblower. I just was sure. I got a little panicky there. Finally, you know, sometimes in life you need to let things come to you. And that's what I learned about stuff like this. After a while, okay, I'm going to quit looking for it. I've gone through the jacket I was wearing. I've gone through this. Where's my wallet? The next day, part of the process that I'm going through is I've been taking about 15 minutes in the afternoon to meditate, to really meditate. Meditate's sort of like prayer, but it's not exactly prayer. And each day is what I do. I get still, and I get a phrase from the Lord. I get a phrase from Scripture, and I just hold it in my mind and think about it. I meditated on the words, God is love, for 3 days. Three days each day I meditate on God. The first day I thought about the word God. The next day I thought about His. The next day I thought about love. Amazing how many insights you can get out of thinking about one word when you meditate. So I decided yesterday afternoon to have my time of meditation. And I got still, began to breathe deeply, and began to think about this scripture that I'm reading, that I read to you. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the fleshly nature. I just let that roll over my mind, not forcing anything. Out of the blue, the words came, look in your snow pants. I wasn't thinking about my wallet. I was having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit knew where my wallet was. It's wonderful to be filled with the Spirit. You can do this. You can become powerful. You can quit being weak. But it's not from trying hard. It's from leaning hard. It's from leaning hard. That's how you become powerful. It's by saying, God, I can't do this, but I'm trusting you. I'm leaning into you right now, and you're going to help me. I know you will. So to be powerful, let go of the toxic stuff, lean into the healthy stuff, and breathe in the power that's all around you. Father, I pray you will help your people. And I know there are people in the sound of my voice who have received the Spirit. They might have even spoken in other tongues. And so they have the biblical seal of approval that they now officially are Spirit-filled. But they're not living a Spirit-filled life. They're full of insecurities and full of fear, full of worry, full of anxiety, full of emotional pain, maybe even full of stuff like rage. But this morning, Lord, you have compassion on us. You have compassion. When Christ was put on the cross, now you can come to us and you don't have to exact retribution from us, but you can just have compassion on our struggles. And I pray for that person who's having a struggle this morning. Those people that I'm talking to, they're having struggles. I pray that they can sit there in their seat and just let go. And if it helps them, I pray they'll come and receive communion, and they'll come and be prayed for by our prayer partners. If that point of contact, and for many, that will just help them to do that. Right now, our prayer partners are available. Communion's available. Take advantage of these means of touching the Lord and coming into His presence. I want to invite you to participate in response time at Bethany right now. If you're a visitor, we invite you to serve yourself communion at 4 different communion stations. We invite you to come and be prayed for if there's some need in your life. You come up here, you can tell them what it is, or you can say, I'm not at liberty to tell you. I'd rather not tell you, but just pray for me. It will help. These are all means of entering into the grace of God. Let's come and let's participate. God bless you.
You have been listening to the Bethany Community Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us online at bccma.org. Thank you, and God bless.